Thanks very much for joining us. You're going to go straight to the lines because I want to talk about the $45 million that's been allocated to the police. It's for tactical services. Here to talk to us about this, Rangatira Deputy Superintendent Wally Haumaha joins us now. Me tuku mihi kia koe te rangatira. Thanks very much for joining us on Irirangi Wātea. $45 million, that's a lot of money. I've got to say, though, you know, let's be clear here that the police deserve additional support, additional staff, additional frontline workers. That's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Absolutely, Cordette. When you look at the current climate that we're now operating in, things have changed in this country quite dramatically, not only as a result of COVID, but also...
Me tuku mihi kia koe e te rangatira. We were talking about the necessity of frontline workers, support staff for police.
Yes, absolutely. And look, as I said, the $48 million might sound like a lot of money, but in today's context and the climate that we're currently working in, the demand pressures across a whole range of areas as a result of COVID, but even before COVID, organised crime, I mean, it is quite a significant uplift. But then you think about the dangers that police are facing every day in our communities. And, of course, in order to keep our communities safe, we need to keep our police safe. So this whole response model, this technical response model, is something that we've really considered and had really deep conversations, not only internally with the organisation, but with our iwi leaders up and down the country, our Pacific leaders, our ethnic leaders. We've consulted wide and far in terms of why shouldn't we be a generally armed police service? And of course, our response is, it's not where we want to be. We want to be a police service unlike any other jurisdiction in the world. It's still approachable. It still operates on the philosophy of being community-facing and working with the consent of our communities.
So will our police be routinely armed now, i.e., I'm not quite sure whether routine is the right word, but are we now going to see arms on police as a matter of course?
Well, as I said, we are looking at upskilling our frontline staff to the same level so that they are well-equipped. They have the best training, and we've uplifted the training to far beyond what it has been previously. Also putting them in a position with the best equipment that we can remain a generally unarmed service for the reason that the Commissioner has outlined wide and far. And that's the position that we've taken. And plus, we've done a lot of research internationally, Claudette, and being armed doesn't generally make you any safer or the public any safer. And some of the comparative statistics that we've looked at internationally for services that are armed are quite significant.
I'm just wondering how much of the pūtea will go to increasing frontline staff and increasing support staff. Will there be a significant amount of that pūtea allocated there, or will we see a significant number of that pūtea going into tactics, intelligence and arms?
Well, without getting into the detail, most of that will be going into frontline training. And, of course, we've taken the response from over 1,200 of our people who have been through the safety training at the time. And, look, I have to say, where we've invested, the return on that investment through community consultation has been significant. I've taken some of our community leaders into the Royal New Zealand Police College, and what they heard in terms of the response and the course that they'd been run through from our frontline officers was that this was the best course after all of their years of training, thinking that, you know, the executive has put in a training course that's going to keep them safe. And, you know, people who came into that position thought, nobody needs to tell me anything about policing. A week inside of there, they came back with a totally different view. I had people like Dame Nada Glavish sitting there listening to the commentary and the feedback. It was overwhelming. So I think we have, you know, our country in a position where we aren't going to go to a tactical armed response, as you say, or generally armed and wearing firearms openly and visibly. And we will have people well trained, well equipped,
and well managed to keep our communities as well as keep themselves safe. Also, you think about the situations inside of gang organizations, particularly criminal gang organizations around organized crime. That has grown significantly in terms of, as I say, the infiltration of methamphetamine. It's affecting our people up and down this country.
I guess that is the that's the issue, isn't it, is that there has been an increase in crime over the years and an increase in violent crimes as well too. Has it, what a percentage, or has there been a significant percentage of those violent crimes being conducted by gangs?
Oh, look, we've got evidence wide and far, and for me not to go into the detail at this point in time, but there is a significant portion of those who commit crime, as you know, through organised crime. Now, there's a distinguishment between organised crime and gangs generally. You know, not all gangs are committing criminal offences to that extent, but the organised crime fraternity, where there's importation of methamphetamine, climate's changed significantly around, you know, the proceeds of crime and the money that's from those proceeds is significant, and we need to be well equipped to be able to deal with those and respond to anybody who decides that this is the way they want to operate. Generally, I think I've set aside many commissioners now over my time, throughout my career, 37 years in the organisation, and I think this is one of the best approaches. This is not the armed response disguise. This is a more a safer and acceptable and modern approach to keeping our staff safe. And look, as I say, the feedback and the response has been quite overwhelming by our people.
Of course, all we can remember is Tūhoe and the raids, and all we can remember is innocent Māori. So every time we hear police tactics, police arms, that's what we're thinking. And of course, it would be natural. It's natural that we think
We've done a lot of work from since that time. And as you know, I spent 7 years rebuilding the relationship with Tūhoe to reassure we don't get into that position, and we learn from the issues from the past. And so we have changed our tactics significantly. I also, at that time, now have put into our operating model a community of impact assessment. So we have to go through all of those areas to think, are we doing this in the most appropriate way, and is this the way to keep our communities safe? So again, you know, we learn from the mistakes of the past so that we're not condemned to repeat them in the future. And that this is the model that's going to work for us. I stand by what the Commissioner is currently doing, and I think it puts us in the best position. But then you can never, for the unexpected, somebody who's, you know, suddenly pulling weapons and firearms, regardless of what it is, and suddenly, you know, the element of surprise. And, of course, be prepared for the signals that we confront when we're in those situations.
We absolutely understand, Frontline. Thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon. Much appreciated.